this is, we are one outpost of a huge body of Christ. Massive. Right now, all over the world, there are people lifting up Jesus' name, singing praise to him. You know, we do not have the corner on the market. There are churches everywhere that are sold out and in love with Jesus. They're worshiping, they're making disciples, and God is showing up in big ways. We stole away a lunchtime and went and met my folks. We met halfway. They're down southeast Texas, closer to the Houston and San Antonio kind of parts of the world. And they drove up and we met in Waco, Texas, which there's really nothing there except for... That's right. You know, we're friends with Chip and Joanna, so we didn't even see them. But I love what the Lord is doing in the body of Christ all over the world. And my pops was sharing just some of the testimony. There is a couple, an elderly couple who are in some mission work, and just in their ministry alone, since they started, they have seen 7 people raised from the dead. 7 people raised from the dead. You know, that's just the fun stuff to talk about, right? Tumors falling off of people, blind eyes open, legs healed, miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And they asked my dad, they said, will you come over and teach and minister to the ministers? And he's like, well, you need me to talk to them about it. They're raising people from the dead. Just keep doing what you're doing. That's the message I would say. Isn't that funny? But their ministry involves so many hundreds of thousands of people who are refugees, destitute. They just have nothing. You know, it's rare that they get consistent meals, things like that. And I just know that when there is great practical humility, there is a greater tenacity in finding hope. And when Jesus is offered to those that know they're sick and need a Savior, he shows up and affirms his word in mighty ways. If anything I take away from that, I'm like, man, God is on the move all over the world. He will meet us. And just like when we started this 21 days of fasting and prayer out of Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, you call to me, I will answer, and I will show you things you do not know. Have you ever seen someone raised from the dead? I haven't seen anybody raised from the dead yet. I want to see that. But not just that. I want to see what God says about our families, about church ministry. We are not done yet. If you're breathing air, you ain't finished yet. And there is much more for God in your life and what you're going to do. So don't give up. And then I look at verse 14 out of Jeremiah 33, and it says, the days are coming when God's going to fulfill those good things he's promised. I don't know about you, but that one is one I'm holding close to my heart. I'm like, oh, Lord, let it be. The days are coming. Is it February? February 14th. You love me. You love me. Come on. The days are coming. I just want you to stir your heart for greater things. Do you believe that 2020 could be a significant year for you? I believe it could be. And I believe that's God's heart for you. In order for some of this stuff to happen, I feel we have to be sensitive to the timing, and we need to seize it. And so I come back from this time down there in Dallas, and you know, the Lord is stirring so much. I'm not getting into some of those things today. Today's message is a prep for the rest of the things to come. If you want a title for this, it's going to come right out of Luke chapter 9. So turn with me to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to read a section out of this Luke's gospel, and we're going to start at verse 57. It says there in verse 57, out of the New King James Version, is what I'm going to be reading out of today. It says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to Jesus, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, well, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then he says, Jesus says to another one, hey, you follow me. But that one said, well, Lord, first, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus says to that man, well, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. The next verse says, and then also another says, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus says to that one, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If I want to leave you with a big phrase in your mind for 2020, as we have turned the corner and go straight into this new year and really a new season for what God is doing in your life, I hope we remember this phrase, let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. It sums up so much in Jesus' interactions with these disciples. Right after this, he calls on 70 more disciples and he sends them out two by two and they move heaven and earth. These guys are casting out demons. They come back with praise reports. I'm telling you, these disciples moved heaven and earth. Before they were sent, though, he said, here's what I want you to know. Let the dead bury the dead. And I'm here to say, just as pastor of Visible Church, for me and for all of you, and anyone listening on Facebook Live or any of that, this is a year where more than any other time in your Christian life, on this road you're on, you've got to let the dead bury the dead. 2019 is over. It is gone. You are not living back. You are in a whole new era of your life. I know my daughter and my other daughter went to a youth program all this last summer called New Era. And you know what? That might have been just flat out prophetic. Because God is doing something new. And I believe that when we submit to God's Spirit, He begins to open up our eyes and we see what He's doing. And it stirs up a passion and inspiration for us to be disciples and follow Him with firm commitment, devotion. That's the challenge in the American church. If you want to know why we don't see the miracles I mentioned in reference, 7 people raised from the dead and things like that, I'll tell you why. We're too fat, lazy, and sassy. We're way too comfortable. There are too many things going on in our life to compete with our passion for the Lord. In fact, passion for the Lord is often offensive, or at least it just makes us uncomfortable. We want people to tame it down and be a little more respectable. But you know what? I feel like 2020 is a year where God is saying, let the dead bury the dead. That's the old you. And now you need to pursue me in a whole new passion and a fervor. And you will see, no doubt, more than what those 70 plus disciples saw. You will see God move in a mighty way. And so it starts by us humbling ourselves in fasting and prayer and seeking Him. If you haven't started knocking and asking, don't be surprised if 2020 you don't get what you haven't been asking for. Come on, start asking in prayer and in persistence. It's not easy. If it was easy, anybody'd be doing it. This is something that requires a commitment from us. So I want to unpack just 3 things that I look at here in these verses. And if I were to read just those first ones again, as they're walking on the road, the first one says this, I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. And what I read is his response is, well, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man, he just got nowhere to sleep. What does that mean to you? I'll tell you what it should mean to us. That Christ, you could see it in Scripture, especially out of Hebrews, where he says he had rights. He put them all aside and took on human flesh and the attitude of a servant, all these things. He did all of that to the point of suffering none of the natural comforts that even the birds and the foxes would have had. This whole first kind of sifting of our hearts moving into 2020 is let our comfort zones die. 2019, I had some comforts. Some of you know some of my creature comforts. Warm cup of joe, a cookie. things like that. I like my bed. It's nice. It's comfortable. Actually, that's a lie. We've had the same bed for how many years? And there's a point where it's like you roll to the side and then it rolls you back. And then you're like, ah, man. So it's very funny. I've got some creature comforts. And I can just see it rising in my heart. God saying, are you going to let those creature comforts die? Are you going to put to death in 2020 your love of comfort? You know well, because I've said this too, that part of my hesitation of moving into the next things God's calling me is my timidity to do what I don't feel is going to be comfortable to my flesh. My pops asked me even while we were there. He said, you going to come with me in May? Go to this African nation and teach some people? And I went, no. I don't know. I need to pray about that. You know me. Pray about that is Christianese for no, but I'm going to wait for a good excuse. Let me pray about that. See, in the moment, Jesus would ask, oh, you want to be my disciple? You want to follow me? All right. What happens if you don't get your Netflix? What happens if you don't get to use your smartphone? There's no coverage there. You lose internet connection. What happens if you don't have Starbucks? What if you have to worship in 110 degrees heat and you ain't been able to take a shower, let alone use a bathroom with real plumbing? What if you don't get to eat your gluten-free, pasta on Sunday and you have to eat rice with chicken bones cut up in it? Suddenly you're getting me now. You're like, yeah, I don't know. What if that's what it takes to see dead people raised? What if that's just what it takes to see what God can do through a yielded vessel? Maybe in 2020, I just say, you know what? I'm good with just showing up on Sundays to a nice floor and cool like lights and my same family friends. I like everybody here. I like comfortable faces, people I know, nothing out of the norm. This is comfortable. I like cookies. Thank you. What if Jesus says, leave the cookies in 2019? I'm like, please. Leave the padded seats. And step out where I'm at and where I'm moving and let me do something new in 2020. That requires a disciple that's willing to say like Jesus, I don't have the house that a fox has or the bed, the fancy nest that even the birds have. And that's a reality of following me in 2020. Will you do that? I don't know. Some of us, it's hard enough to just skip some meals. Let alone lay your life down in a fresh way. I can't help while I'm thinking about what it's going to cost or what I have to let die in 2019 to move into 2020. I go back to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7 has some wonderful things that it says, but they're wonderful in the sense that they're hard to deal with. He says that in the last days there are going to be perilous times because people are going to be lovers of pleasure more than they're lovers of God. I identify with that. Anybody else identify with that? I mean, this is the reality of our flesh and our human nature. And when you have the opportunity to pamper baby flesh, you just do. But God is asking us to let that die in 2019. And in 2020, we have to live kind of like, do you remember the Johnsons? Who came and ministered on Sunday. I mean, these missionaries that have their influence all over the world and have great ministries in China and in Africa and in Canada and there in Detroit and in different areas, Vancouver, all over. They've got all these ministries going on. And Larry said this. He said before he stepped into the mission field, he started to pray one prayer over and over again. God, kill me. Kill me. What he was saying was kill all that desire, that drive for the creature comforts that I've come to know and let me live only for you. Let old Larry Johnson just die and let what lives be all for you. You know, that's my heart too. I want that. Let the creature comforts and all those things die. I just don't want to have what Timothy or what is shared in 2 Timothy be a reality of this man. I don't want perilous times in this man. I want to love Jesus more than I love anything else. More than I love coffee, more than I love comfort, more than I love my snuggle time with my little mutt, you know, all that stuff. I got to love Jesus more than that. And then we move on. In chapter 9, verse 59, he tells another man, follow me, but first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus tells him, no, let the dead bury their own dead. You've got to go everywhere and tell about the kingdom of God. You know, it might be a little weird for us to read that and understand what's going on here. Maybe there's something lost in translation. But quite frankly, here's what he's saying. If you're going to be a disciple, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. Why I'm saying that is simply because he is talking to a good, devout believer. He is talking to a religious man here who is doing what is expected socially and religiously. No doubt, after a father or someone in the family dies, he would have immediate responsibilities to prep for burial. But beyond that, once he's buried, in their customs, there would be a seven-day mourning period with all kinds of customs. And during that time, it would be customary for him to read certain wills and to do certain things with family and to get things in order and do all kinds of customary things. And in the community, it was very important for you to hold your religious standing and do what was predictable and expected. Mourn in this way and thus in such a way. And be there for your family and all that kind of stuff. It really wasn't for the practical purposes of just simply burying a loved one. It was all the other stuff that goes along with it. The religious requirements and the duties. But I look at this and I think that social and religious sacrifices, all of that, if they come before just straight up obedience to God, we're out of whack. We're just out of whack. So he was literally asking the Lord, before I obey you, let me obey you. He was telling Jesus face to face, okay, I hear what you're saying, but before I do what you're asking me to do, let me go do what I also think you've asked me to do. And he said, no, I don't care if you take 7 days to mourn. I'm right here. Your dad's already dead and gone, and he's with me in heaven. I want you to be with me right now. Overcome that and make an exception. Obey me, and don't obey this social norm that's around you, demanding for you to do certain things. You know what this makes me think of is a story out of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this, Samuel the prophet, and the one who anointed and put into place the first king of Israel, whose name was King Saul. King Saul was a mighty man. He was head and shoulders taller than everyone else, and he was a warrior, and he was great. He was looking good. He was all this kind of stuff, but he got some fame. He got some renown, and he learned to love the public opinion and all those things, and he wanted to keep that. Well, it came time for him to choose, do I keep traditions and expectations, or do I obey God? Same kind of dynamic, isn't it? And in 2020, we've got to decide sometimes, what are you going to obey? Christian norms, or are you going to obey God? And Saul's asking this question, and instead of obeying God's explicit rules, which was, do not defeat these Amalekites and then take a single thing. I want you to defeat them. I want you to kill every living thing. Now, I know it sounds gruesome, but kill man, woman, child, donkey, cow, everything. I don't want you to leave one thing breathing in that whole territory. Wipe them clean off the face of the earth. And so when they get in there, they see some good things, some good cows, good for sacrifices to the Lord, of course. Maybe we just need to triumph over the enemy and keep King Agag alive so that we can parade him around like is customary so that we can make big boasts about how big God is instead of King Agag. And so he listens to the public opinion polls and he listens to what is normal in their customary practices and he does what he thinks is best. He keeps some sheep and some lamb and the best of the best so he can make sacrifices to God and keep face in front of the people. And he keeps the king Agag alive. And so Samuel shows up and he basically says, is the Lord delighted in burnt offerings as much as obedience? Is the Lord delighted in all of your extravagant sacrifices? Or is he more delighted in just obedience? I think in 2020, I don't want to just do what I'm required religiously to do. I want to do what God's commanding me to do. I don't want anything to come before it. I don't want anything to fight or compete in any way with my decision to obey God first. So when we went to Gateway, they call this conference First Conference. Part of the reason why they call it First Conference is because they say we need to put God first in our lives and everything else comes in its proper order after that. You know, they're right. That's basically quoting Scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. Everything else will fall into place. God first, everything else second. In 2020, what do we want to let die in 2019? I want to stop competing. I want God to win for the affections and the priorities of my heart. So more than anything else, God comes first. More than work, more than family, more than my own personal ambitions. This isn't bad. More than churchy stuff. We live in a very churchy area. So let the churchiness die and let that thriving obedience come to the surface and really live. That's putting Jesus first. So then I move on. And if I'm going to let my creature comforts, I'm going to let comfort die. In 2019, it's dead and gone. I'm going to let my sense of something competing for God's obedience in my life, I'm going to let that die in 2019. And the last thing that I'm going to let die in 2019 comes in the next couple verses. Another says, I'm going to follow you, sir. This is in verse 61 of chapter 9. But first, let me tell my family goodbye. And Jesus says to him, whoever starts to plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And he tells him to go and spread the gospel message. Now, there are some phrases there that you've got to be with me. When he says, I want you to go and declare the kingdom of God, what he's distinctly saying, Jesus is saying, I want you to spread the news of God's authority and rule. That everywhere you go, God rules. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of lords. His rule, his power, his influence, his ability to show up and do whatever he wants to do. It's a reality. Everywhere you go, you've got to proclaim that. But the problem with proclaiming that is, if you're going to have authority to proclaim that God is Lord of your life, he really has to be Lord of your life. And in this moment, we see that this man wants to go back and just say one more goodbye to all the things he's once loved. One more kind of lap around everything. One more kiss from his wife. One more party with a good old friend. One more hurrah. One last vacation, so to speak, before I make the sacrifice to go with you, Jesus. It's almost like you could hear through the words, okay, I want to follow you. Do you have to leave everything? Can I take a good picture? Can I go back and get a selfie with so-and-so? Can I, one more? And so what I see very clearly, at least to me, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, if you are going to follow me in 2020, you cannot look back. Because you will be a man divided. You will have affections in two places. And you can't have that. You have to do literally what he's using in agricultural reference here, a simile from agriculture in their times. And you hear this, if you were to kind of take time and read some of those old historians from that era, they would explain this concept. It was a popular concept that meant if you are plowing rows and you're looking back, your rows will be crooked. So he is taking this and saying, all right, disciple, I see your struggle. You have multiple loves. I want you to kill whatever is sharing my love. I want you to let that go so you can plow straight rows. And if you can't let it go, you will always be corrupt in what you're attempting to do in my name. And I can't have that in my disciples. You've got to be that free from whatever it is that was then and you. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that in Christ, I'm a new creation. Anybody know that? How many like that verse? I like that verse. If you're like me, I like it because I know some of the big things that I've used to be. I think back of the worst things of me and I go, oh, I don't talk about those things. Part of it is I don't want to boast in any way or give the devil a platform on some of that stuff. You know, just a little bit. I have forgotten more than I ever wanted to know in the first place, and I still remember stuff I wish I could forget. There is so much about the old me that I don't like and I don't want to even remember. And so I go to that verse and I am so comforted. I'm a new creation. But you know, if I'm completely honest with you today, I believe that us in this room, me included, there is a big struggle in Christian discipleship. We have multiple images of who we are based on our past and our relationships and our experiences, our talents, our abilities, all that kind of stuff. And you know what that is doing to you moving forward in your Christian life? It's causing you to plow crooked. You're plowing crooked. You cannot plow the way God wants you to plow if you still think of yourself in 2019 ways. This is a new year. So that means your limp from 2019 ain't there in 2020. Now you might say, oh, Pastor Ben, but I am still the same person. That's the problem. You like that person, don't you? It's become familiar to you. You look in the mirror and you go, oh, it's me, warts and all. I kind of like those warts. God says, I want you to forget the warts. That was the old you. Leave the warts in 2019. The new you is going to walk straight. But if I'm not that, then who am I, God? Have you ever had that creep up inside of you? If you are to leave, like this man was being asked to do, no. Let your identity die and receive a whole new identity. A part of us, the minute we go, well, if I let go of this, this is all I've ever known. It's all I've ever known. What is it going to be like if God asked me to do stuff I've never done before and it's stretching me? That's called discipleship. That's called God doing exactly what Jeremiah 33 says. I'm going to show you stuff you never would have seen on your own if you pursue me. See, the old us will never see dead people raised. It's the new us that follows after God that gets to see the stuff that God wants us to see. The funny thing is there's something inside of every person that's a believer. You want more of what God has for you. There's something in you. It's why you're in church. It's why you're opening your Bible. You want to see what God wants you to see. You want more freedom. You want all this stuff. But you can't have that and have everything you've loved from your former ways and your former life. You get one or the other. And so, quite frankly, I believe that it's like Proverbs 4:25 says, in 2020, you have to forget whatever was before and you have to fix your eyes straight ahead. It says in verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead. Keep them straight ahead. Let your eyesight be focused in front of you. Let your eyesight be focused in front of you. If I could have one prayer request answered as I say that, I would like it to be this. Some have struggled for years in their Christian life with past mistakes, past regrets, with mountains of shame, Wouldn't it be nice in 2020 for you to stop looking at that stuff? For those old ghosts to stop coming up and haunting you anymore? For the old things that you have become so familiar with, oh, that's that old weakness, that's that old whatever, and you know, I guess I'm just never going to be any different. And you almost anticipate the disappointment of your old self. Wouldn't it be nice to let that old junk and all the baggage with it go? That's what God is saying to this disciple. No, no, no. There is nothing backwards that is going to be good for you. And so I'm looking at this and I'm going, if I turn my attention straight ahead, that's actually me turning my face away from all of the good things, the glory days. Sometimes success is our worst enemy to move forward in God. Maybe you've done great things. Maybe you've had great breakthroughs. Maybe there's been a peak. Maybe in high school you was all that. But if you're still living in high school, 50-year-old man, you got problems, you know? And if you're still living Christian in the glory days of 1979, when the outpouring hits you smack in the face and you got to say, you is sad because you aren't a disciple for 2020. You're a disciple for the outpouring you started in. But when are you going to step into a new decade? And some of us, we get saved, and there is a wonderful glory in that honeymoon period with Jesus. And you almost wish everything could just go back to that. You know what? I love all of the stages of my kids. I loved it when they were babies and you could hold them and stuff. But I praise God the last day we had a diaper in our house. I'm telling you, there was victory in my land. And the first night I could sleep all that night through, I was like, thank you, Jesus. I love my kids, you know. I mean, I love that phase, but I so love to see that phase go. And a baby Christian has got some beautiful qualities to it. They share their faith with everybody. They misquote scripture. They don't do anything consistently. They have passion all over the place. They make Jesus look good and horrible all at the same time. You know? But you know what? You can't live your Christian life like that. At some point, you got to do a thing called, I got to read my Bible every day. You know, and if you were moved in the power of the Holy Spirit and God set you free, filled you with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you found freedom like you've never experienced in the old forms of Catholicism or some other, you know, wineskin that you were raised in, and you found freedom, and then you come into this new era, and God says, and now I got an era called discipline, and you go, that's not love. And God's saying to you, like this disciple, don't go back. You ain't got everything I've intended for you by going back. Turn your eyes forward. And in 2020, maybe for you, God is saying, accept the rod. It will discipline you and you will grow and become more fruitful. Accept structure or whatever. It's going to be so good, but it won't happen unless you put your eyes forward and stop looking back to the glory days. Let them go. They're gone. And so now I get to kind of the capstone of this message about letting the dead bury their dead. It comes straight from Philippians 3. You may know this verse. In verses 13 through 15, we get the apostle telling us this. He says, brothers, I'm going to include the sisters in the house. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to count myself to have not even come close to apprehending. I just haven't laid hold of it. I have not laid hold of it yet. Oh my gosh. I can't repeat this again, but I just can't get off it either. I feel like one of those rap songs that are just like, and they say one thing over and over again. This is the message where I'm saying one thing over and over again right now. All right, church, prophetically, I'm sensing it right now in the Holy Spirit. Visible church has to move beyond 2019. We are a 2019 church. But if you can capture this by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will become a new decade church. Where we have been up until this point, the last 4 years have been beautiful. And you have the opportunity to stay in the past. Well, I want you to be real with yourself. Do you want that? Do you want the same thing you have had for the last 4 years? Do you want the same Jesus? Do you want the same relationship? Do you want the same functions? Do you want the same experiences? Do you want to just repeat what has already been repeated over and over and over again? You can have it. And you can be so strong that you will take you and your family or a church group back to what you imagine is the glory days of old. And part of me says, that was good. But I hear the voice of the Lord saying, turn your attention to something new and forget all of it and press on. So I'm going to finish this verse. He says, I haven't laid hold of a single thing yet. So forgetting what was behind, I reach forward unto the things which are before me, and I press toward it for that mark, the prize of that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So let us therefore, as many are mature, be this minded in our minds. If anything else is competing with that mind, I pray the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. And you know, that's the message today. Let the dead bury the dead. Forget what was behind, all of the good, all of the bad, whatever it is. And know that God has got something great for you in 2020, but you've got to run for it like one of those three disciples out of Luke 9. And don't be surprised if 2020 blows your socks off. Don't be surprised if in this year, something that you have never been able to even imagine or conceive takes place in your Christian life and experience. But you have to be so serious. Kill the comforts. Let obedience be number one in your life, starting today. And stop looking back and look forward. Let the past die.
Bless.